Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Tyler in for Nick. Barry and Joel, president accounted for. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show as we continue to roll on with the freestyle rap battle of the interns. And this one has car crash written all over it.
This is round two. This is MC Trey.
That's MC, what you're going with?
MC Three.
Bobby Dynamite. Because my real name's Robert.
Oh, you're not going with Bobby Dynamite. You can't have that. That's already been taken.
Have you considered wearing overalls without a shirt underneath?
No.
We've considered what it would look like, and it's not a good picture.
You've probably done that before, haven't you?
No.
We know you're from Baytown. You're from Baytown.
You're kicking it in Baytown in the yard, and it's 100 out. You got overalls on with nothing underneath, don't you?
You definitely.
Maybe when I was like 3 years old, not now.
Chafing down there, and the whole works.
All right, so we got MC Three, which is Trey, versus MC Johnny B, which you wrote John, and then you wrote Johnny B. What do you go by?
Yeah, John, Johnny B, either one.
Okay, stop trying to sound sexy.
I'm telling you, dude, if this dude can rap at all with those pipes, it's over.
All right, he's going to be working Magic 102 in radio.
That's right.
Okay, so the way this is going to go, since you sat in that chair and Keith went first in that chair, Trey, you're going first. Wait for the cue. You're going to do four bars. I know you have no idea what that is. You actually are the music guy out of all the interns, though, right?
Yeah. Okay. Four bars is like four verses, right?
Okay, are we ready for the music? All right. Start when the music starts, Trey. You ready?
His name is John. He isn't really great. All he does is go home and masturbate. He wears stupid shoes. I don't like his face. He looks like he drives a windowless van. That doesn't rhyme, but I don't care. I'm just saying words now. I quit. I'm done.
Dude, if you would have finished the last line, the last rap with one last rhyme, you were there.
You did so good until you quit. You were hanging in there.
You were.
Agreed.
And you panicked.
If he would have started again. If he would have started on beat.
First of all, you didn't start on the beat, but you managed to stay on beat once it started, so that's a plus. But you kind of gave up there. You faded. You, I don't
Mom's
know what
spaghetti
happened.
Spaghetti came right at the wrong
Harden.
Time.
You turned into Harden? Okay.
Yeah, James Harden.
Thank you for the sports reference. All right. MC Johnny B, are you ready? Can you beat that?
I hope so.
Do you think you have this?
I don't think I have it, but I hope I have it.
He has it on his phone.
I see that. He's the technical MC.
Yeah, he's
all a
techie.
Here we go.
Trey, what you think you're doing? Coming in late with all that trash you be spewing? Nah, man, not here. You better go Gillette and shave that nappy beard. I can't believe you want to battle me. Even though I'm trash, I know I'm not the queen of the Frosties. Bruh, call this man a Wendy. Or maybe I mistake her for a Cindy. Or was it Sammy? Wait, bro, you just little orphan Annie.
Oh!
I never even wanted to rap battle you.
Damn, he called you the Wendy's lady? Damn!
He wrecked me.
He wrecked you.
Disclaimer, I did apologize before we went on air.
He wrecked you. He called you the Wendy's lady. He called your beard nappy.
Yeah, that was... I mean, whatever, man.
Wow. I really thought you would have held your own better than this, Trey. I feel like my son has let me down.
No, your son's got a second chance.
I know.
He's got to make a first impression.
Yeah. All right, you got to turn your phone off. Give me your notes. Okay. All right, now, Johnny B, you're going first this time with the freestyle.
We got a new beat?
Nope, same beat.
All right.
We don't have that kind of production money.
Oh, that's okay.
New beat. What are you kidding me? We're on a budget over here.
Just ask.
All right, kick it.
Deftones, really? Nah, they're not that bad, really. But Seattle Supersonics, bro, you know they're dead already? Bro, Trey, Baytown, I thought you were really from Gulfgate. Come on.
That didn't even rhyme.
I know, it was terrible.
You did squeeze in a Gulfgate reference, which is okay.
He tried to convince the audience, which is half the battle you failed at.
He picked stuff like he so far he's the only one that's done it right from a rap battle perspective because he picked stuff that you're wearing and where you live, and he made fun of it, which is exactly how you want to do it in a rap battle. So now you get to respond, Trey. Are you ready?
I just gave Trey a pointer. Let's see if he
can. Can you do this on beat, please?
I can try.
Okay. All right.
Yo, John, what's up with that mustache? You look like a dumbass. All you do is, shut up. I don't want to do this anymore.
That was terrible.
This isn't a good bit.
Hey, that was terrible. You've ruined this, Trey.
Practice, man.
I That's classic, Tyler.
Oh, you had all this time.
And gave it to him.
While you were,
while you were giving him advice, I'm like, go for what you know. Go for the must. Go for something. And then he came up with mustache and dumbass.
I'm going to call it right now. I think the finals are going to be Johnny B. and versus little Jake Spear. That's I really feel like that's what's going to happen here. But we're going to let you guys vote. I'm going to tweet it out. At Barry is funny. Guys, fantastic job.
Yeah, nice
good job,
everybody.
Over there, MC Johnny B.
I think just for kicks and giggles, the consolation battle that would be extremely entertaining would be that of Keystone White versus
Trey
Deasy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That would, no. I would feel like...
Trey Dizzy.
No. Trey Dizzy?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
Trey Dizzy?
He's completely How do you feel like you did? Up there.
The guy is completely... Well, I completely humiliated myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, you did this to yourself. We wanted you in it because I feel like you're musically inclined. You're intelligent.
But I can't
You
rap.
Mailed it in, though. You thought you had this, and you mailed it in.
No, I didn't think I had it. No? I told you all this whole time. I was going to be horrible.
I will tell you this. I've been talking about this for a couple of days, and I feel like the only one that really took it serious was MC Johnny B.
What about
and it
kind of showed. Bake?
Now, Lil Jakespeare, got sprung on him at the last minute. He did fine. Keith said he was writing, but he was only writing to face Trey. He didn't know we were drawing names out of the hat, which was part of the point. But I feel like Johnny B came prepared. Like, he came ready.
Thank you,
dude. This is impressive.
You let me down, Trey.
I'm sorry.
You had all these days to prepare.
I had, like, a lot of homework to do. And
what? What are you, eight?
Like, no, like, for I had to, like, study. For
Johnny picked at me, and I said, what's the basis? Anyone who knows me knows I love Oasis. That could have been your first line. You could have gone from there. You could have made up something. You had time.
I'm not that good at like thinking about things.
Okay. How is not it, that way.
How is it that you wrote your rhymes way better than you write down callers' names when we give stuff away?
Your penmanship.
It's because you had to read it this time and you weren't worried about writing it with your foot like you do for us.
I have dyslexia.
No, that's
you
not
had
me.
A dyslexia?
We've covered this. Anytime Trey screws up, he blames dyslexia, no matter what it is. He gets a ticket, he blames dyslexia. It's anything. You can't do that.
I have armpit sweats. It's still dyslexia.
Yeah, totally. Good job, guys. We're going to put out the Twitter poll. We'll see who wins and advances. We're going to leave it up to the peeps. I'm tweeting
it out
right now.
What are we doing
right
the
now.
Finals?
It'll be around 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So about an hour. We'll get the finals going. So at Barry's Fun, if you want to get in on the poll... Not like
will
that.
We'll be doing... Oh, yeah, really. Will we be doing the consolation battle?
No, there will be no. We don't want to hear from the losers again. I didn't mean to look at you, Keith Green Mile. My bad.
Yeah, he's going
to
squash
you in the
hallway.
I think you have a chance to move on. Trey just gave me the finger. It's okay, guys. Y'all did well. I'm very proud of you guys. Everyone kicked ass. Good job, fellas. Rachel, you blew it. You had a chance. You just... You got scared.
No, Rachel, you don't get airtime now. No. Keep it moving.
You got scared, and then you wanted to come back. It's, man... Like she get like
can we not turn
talk?
Off the mic that's not there? Get out!
Bye. No. Yes, we're
yes,
still over
we're
air.
Still on the air.
All right.
So how do you think that went, Ryan Seacrest?
I thought it went well. I thought it went really well. I thought that everyone really brought their B game.
B.
Well,
Z game.
D.
There was some prep done, but I was disappointed that because you've been pumping this since last week, they didn't spend at least some time in the weekend. Trying to get something together.
Well, they didn't know who they were going to face, and that was probably part of the issue. So I give
you
them...
You can write generic enough to insert name here.
I mean...
I'm just saying.
You know, okay.
Uh-oh, Fort Worth Jay wants to get in here on
oh,
the
Oh, hell,
battle.
Here we go.
All right, Jay, bring it. What's up?
Hey. What the hell? Listen, Trey, hey, man, I was rooting for you. That never works out, but I was rooting for you. But what about the part where he said, shut up, I don't want to do this anymore?
He basically just...
I've never heard somebody freestyle and tell the people who are listening to shut up because you don't want to do it anymore.
At least he's honest. He's an honest rapper.
Hey, and we need more of that. Hey, Trey, I'm going to buy your first ringtone, bro. Just don't let it be more than 10 minutes. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate you.
Oh, my gosh. That's too funny. I'm going to buy your first ringtone. Golly, that's good. Good job, Fort Worth, Jay.
If you could, we Facebook Lived it, right? But it was from through the producer's window. If you could have seen what we were seeing facial expression wise before they started.
A lot of them looked like they were pooping.
Yeah.
It was that they were straining that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, and it wasn't smooth.
No.
No, it was a bumpy road because their faces were like, oh boy. They had bubble tummy.
I tell you what, though, that's not easy. And hats off to all of them. I made them do this, and they kicked ass. I'm very proud of all of them. Yeah, I'm really proud of all of them. I think they did a great job.
I was concerned it could have failed miserably, but it didn't fail miserably. It got...
Trey let me down. I really thought Trey was going to bring the heat. Yeah. I really did. I'm super impressed with Johnny B, though. He kicked ass.
Well, you know what? The thing is when Trey went up against Dr. Dre on 290, that was one where you didn't know what to expect, and Trey just annihilated him.
Okay.
So I was expecting, okay, Trey's going to do some research. He's going to background this a little bit. He's going to come prepared, and he's going to bring it. And instead, it was already brought in, and he was done.
Didn't happen?
No.
Now, Twitter's pissing me off. They won't let me post a poll, so I'll keep working at that at the break.
You work on posting your poll, and right now, I want to take a break and tell you guys about the fine people at Window World. I've been telling you for a long time now, if you're looking to try and reduce your energy bills month to month, and you're looking to try to increase the value of your home, I've got the idea for you. It's a solution that's worth looking into, and there's no strings attached. You're not on the hook for anything, and it can help you in the long run. I'm telling you, Window World of Houston is the place to go because they provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price. They're energy-saving windows. They're made right here in America, and they carry the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. And Window World is the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, and low prices. Windows start at just $189 plus $45 for solar zone low E, and that meets Texas energy regulations. But the first step to reducing your energy bills is the step that I was talking about just a little while ago. All you got to do is call Window World of Houston to schedule a free written estimate. That's right. No hassles. No high pressure. You're not on the hook for anything. It's a free estimate, folks. All you got to do is call 713-439-1172, or you can log on to windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. You tell them where you live. They come to you. They tell you all the things they can do, and then they leave it up to you. You can either call them back. They'll come back and do the work, or you can walk away knowing, hey, if I want to do this, this is what I could do to really lower my energy bills. It's a great, great offer, and it's one you should really take advantage of because it doesn't cost you a thing. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call. With Mary Jane, a long time a gravel road to cash and pain, and sold my soul to hell and back and forth with same jeans and nappy fro.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, in hour number two of the three-hour big show, it's Tyler in for Nick. It's Barry, it's Joel. If you missed it, the intern freestyle rap challenge was on. If you want to go back and listen, you can get the podcast at Podcast Arena or through ESPN975.com. You might have a wrinkle you weren't expecting.
Yeah, I think the people just love Trey. And by the way, I tried to make this poll, and now I've got two going, which is stupid. I don't know why.
Because you did it.
Twitter screwed me over, but I'll keep track of both polls. You can vote in either one. I don't care. You can vote in both. Who cares? The fact of the matter is people aren't voting with their ears, obviously, because everyone's picking Trey, which he didn't win that. He lost that round, easily. Without a doubt. First of all, he got the dude called him... made fun of him as, what did he say, Tyler?
The Wendy's girl.
Yeah. Queen of the Frosties.
Queen of the Frosties was the best line. Second was a wiener with ears. Two of the best lines in battle rap history, I believe, right there. Queen of the Frosties was strong.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you can vote in either of the polls. That Barry is funny. I'm sure others are retweeting it as well.
So, you're going to do some poll watching in the next hour or so, and then... come up with what could be a very disappointing final if Trey sneaks in.
I'm going to be mad if Trey wins. I'll be honest with you because I don't think he earned the victory.
Now, see, you just enticed everyone listening to vote for Trey.
It's just because they want to hear Trey.
Well, they want you to be mad because when you're salty, better. So because you're all fired up, you say the same thing about me. So if you get all fired up and Trey is in the final, then people go home happy.
Oh, okay.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe.
Speaking of polls, there was also a poll out there in terms of one of your favorite portions of the World Series, the taco hero. Whoever steals the first base in the World Series gets free tacos for the world or the country.
Okay.
The Taco Bell. So they asked on Twitter, who will be the taco hero 2017, as Francisco Lindor was for the Indians getting the first stolen base last year? The overwhelming winner was?
Altuve.
Yes.
Yeah.
63%. But there was a tie for second. It was two Dodgers. One, I just think is out of their mind crazy, but okay. Yasiel Puig and Chris Taylor at 14% apiece.
Taylor, I totally get.
I do too.
Puig, I'm not as much, but he can run. I mean, he's not slow. He's not fleet of foot. He's not Altuve, Cameron Maven, but if he licks the base, that'll be great.
They asked Big Red yesterday at Media Day to describe his teammate Puig. And
he said, what did he say, like an 8-year-old?
He's a 12-year-old
yeah.
with the body you couldn't even create in a video game.
Yeah, he's
pretty
buff.
Accurate.
He's buff.
He is a phenomenal athlete. He is a pretty ripped up big dude.
Yeah, he's for a baseball guy too, which, you know, they get a bad rap if they're big. People start assuming right away.
And the tongue always doing.
Listen, I'm already sick of his stuff, but of course, I was sick of the thumbs down, and I was sick of Judge getting all that love. But if that made you sick, just hang on, because ESPN and Fox both have them some LA love because they've got studios there. It's going to be a lot of love for the Dodgers. That's how it's going to be. But I feel like a lot of people were saying and hating on Joe Buck. And I said this already, and I stand by it. I really don't feel like Joe Buck was as biased as people think. I think sometimes in Houston, we tend to listen for that stuff and expect it. And so we assume, you know, sometimes you hear things that aren't there. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that people heard things that aren't there. I'm just saying that I don't think Joe Buck was as biased as people think.
Now, I will say this. I, to support that, have a friend who is a passionate Yankee fan.
Okay.
Who found a way to take out the delay just so that she could get Joe Buck off of her TV, turn the volume down, and sync it up with the Yankees radio because she couldn't take Joe Buck. She hated him.
That's right.
And I think you and I talked about this for a week or so over the course of the series. John Smoltz was the pro Yankee guy. He was over the top Yankees for a lot of the series.
Was he?
Joe Buck seemed to be more.
I don't remember. I was talking about
Astros corner,
but I didn't get that vibe either. And I will pick up on that in a heartbeat.
Like, I even tweeted out at certain portions of Game 7 when the Astros went up 2-0, and he kept saying, "If the Yankees shut the door right here and don't give up anymore, they're not only in this thing; it should be."
But he's right, though. I mean, you can't hate on him for being right.
But he kept pushing it, and there was a lot of people that agreed with me. I mean, look, at a certain point, he was still pushing it. The Astros were getting out of the inning, and it was like, okay, so, you know, don't get your whole world squashed because the Yankees gave up more than two.
Well, I don't know. I didn't, because I mean, I remember listening to like Dan Dierdorf call an Oilers game and just thinking to myself, why does Dan Dierdorf hate the Oilers so much? I really felt that way. And I didn't get that vibe from this team. I felt like they showed a lot of love to Houston, especially early on. Even in the Red Sox series, I thought that they were pretty much down the middle. In fact, maybe leaning again a little more towards Houston and that Houston love. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. None of that is, you know what I mean? That doesn't decide games. It's just annoying to listen to. You can always turn on the radio and turn down the TV. You can listen to Robert Ford.
But the delay is bad.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really bad. I think the radio is closer to like, one of them is like 10 to 15 seconds. It's not normal. It's not like 7 or whatever it is. It's, yeah. And people aren't that savvy to do that, to pause on your DVR so that it kind of slows down a little bit. But yeah, you do have to do a few things to try and get it to sync up.
Poverty Ghost on Twitter said, Trey is the rap god. No.
Not even close.
No. No, he's not. All texting, no tweeting said, Trey just needs a ghostwriter. He needs more than that.
He needs a ghost reader, too, so the plan can come together.
I'll say this. Johnny B was the only one that could keep a beat in any way, shape, or form. The rest of them were just horribly off beat. But Johnny B was able to at least hold a beat a little bit. So you got to give him credit for that if you're thinking about voting.
Look, two of the four actually stepped up and were, I don't want to say impressive, but they did better than I thought that they would do. Yeah. And that's what you would expect to see in your final.
I hope so. Somebody had this question, and get your thoughts on it. Do you think it will help Reddick come out of a slump having played in L.A. last year?
I don't think there's any question. I think there's a lot of factors just from a psychological perspective that are going to give him an opportunity to come out of it and come out of it quick. He knows that ballpark. He knows and has played there. And being in a familiar situation, and again, in a less raucous environment, Yankee Stadium was not only loud, but we already know they're going to yell whatever they're going to yell, and they're going to be on you the whole time, too, and that puts added pressure on you. L.A.'s more laid back. That's also that's a pitcher's park. And you have to do a lot more. It's going to make him feel good that defensively he will help this team just by the fact that he knows the outfield. And I think with all those things being said, and he's got a little motivation that he's already come out with a quote that, hey, when I played for the Dodgers, they booed me. And so I want to get back at this fan base. So he's got some things going psychologically that leads me to believe he's not going to have a World Series like he had in the ALCS.
Yeah, you know, he did, I think, fade a little bit down the stretch with the Dodgers last year, which is part of the reason why they didn't like him. And in the playoffs, though, I mean, he did fairly well. It was almost a flip of what this year's playoffs was, because he hit 375. People are forgetting. He hit 375 in the Boston series. He had six hits and 16 at-bats. He just went 0 for in the ALCS. And, well, he had the one hit, so he went 1 for 25. And it was kind of a flip of that last year, where he didn't hit all that well in the NLDS. He hit 267, but hit 364 in the NLCS. So does that have anything to do with the location? I don't know. I mean, if he's going to hit, he's going to hit, is kind of how I feel like it. Because he did hit in Boston. He just, for whatever reason, the Yankees had his number. Will that be the case with Boston? Yeah, I like the motivation. I like wanting to get back at that fan base. But I think it'll have a lot more to do with, I need to look up how he matches up with guys like Kershaw and Yu Darvish and see what those numbers look like as opposed to the stadium. So I think the motivation is there, but I don't know that the stadium matters as much.
I think from a comfortability standpoint of him knowing everything from the batter's box to right field to, you know, the hallways and the environment, I think it's not a strange environment for him, and he feels more comfortable there than I think he might have felt, you know, in a championship series environment. So maybe that'll help. I hope so. It'll be interesting to see when the lineups come up too, where they're going to have him hitting.
I hope it's eighth.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
I think he's more comfortable there too.
Yeah.
So it'll be because there's less pressure. So we'll see. But that's another thing to keep an eye on as we get ready to get game one underway at about 7:08 local time here in L.A. As we get closer and closer to game one, Clayton Kershaw against Dallas Keuchel. It's on the horizon. We're going to take a quick break at the halfway point, and we're going to come back with a whole lot more. Mattress Mac joins us next as he talks about the fact that he's going to open up his promotion one more time. If the Astros win it all, you get it all at Gallery Furniture. And also that Barry has a petition that he is trying to get through to try and get Mac to throw out the first pitch in the World Series. We'll tell him about that. He'll be tickled, I'm sure. And he was also recognized by a president. So that was kind of
nice.
Cool. A week ago. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. Mattress Mac next, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. It's Tyler for Nick, but it's Barry and Joel till 4 as we continue to roll on with the big show. It isn't a big show until you get a big member of the community to join us. And my good friend is on the line right now. Jim Mattress Mac McInvale is joining us. We wanted him to get back on the show because we had him right after the Hurricanes when he was up to his eyeballs in work in getting everybody to get some relief and get their situations cleared up as he opened up his doors to his three locations and did just some phenomenal things for this community. But with that, he has become kind of the symbol of this city as everything has unfolded with Hurricane Harvey and then the recovery efforts. And because of that, he threw out the first pitch in the Boston series for the divisional series. And now, Mac, as I welcome you to the show, I want to let you know that my partner was part of a petition because they want you to throw out the first pitch in the World Series.
No, I found out the first pitch. I would nominate Marcus Luttrell. He would be better than me.
Not a bad idea.
That's a good
Matt,
idea.
But, yeah, we've already the wheels are in motion. I think you should really have that opportunity, considering everything you've done for this city. I think it would be really good. World Series don't come around very often. I think it would be great to have you throw out at least once. Maybe not game one if you want to defer, but game two? Come on now.
Yeah, well, you know, I was nervous enough the first time. There's no telling how nervous I'd be in the World Series. I would definitely, excuse the expression, piss on myself.
Now, with that being said, Mac, I texted you before the game and told you to not embarrass me and make sure you throw it over. I looked all over the place. I couldn't find video of it. How did that first pitch go in the Red Sox series?
It was good. I threw it high. I let it come down. It was good. I practiced 3 days before. My 66-year-old arm was definitely worn out. I'm not in my 20s anymore, but it came out very good, and I was thrilled to be able to do that with the Astros. They're great people and a great team, and what a great story for our community.
So you rainbowed in your Verlander?
Pretty much, yeah. It wasn't 97 miles an hour, that's for sure.
Well, let me let you have the floor for a second, too, because, you know, as part of everything that you've done with the hurricane relief, but also part of something that you've done for the community of Houston, is you've got this thing that, that you've done several times promotionally with Super Bowls and other things, but you threw it out there at the start of the year that if people came in and they bought $3,000 or more worth of bedroom furniture and the Astros win it all, you get it all. And a lot of people were kind of disappointed they didn't get in on it now that the Astros are doing so well. And you actually brought that. You're so confident. I say confident, but you've got to be torn. But you brought that promotion back this week.
Well, it was the Astros. If they win it all, you get it all. And so it was. They have to win. The Astros win the season-ending championship. I can't use a copyrighted term called World Series, but that's what it is. And so they got a big chance, and we're certainly pulling for them. We're huge Astros fans, and lots of customers are pulling for them. The promotion stopped last night, but a lot of people in it. A lot of people excited about getting a free mattress, and that's what it's all about, is making customers happy. That's what we do.
Okay, so with that being said, you're a diehard Houston sports fan. You're a big supporter of the Astros. How are you pulling in this World Series? Because you know if they win it all, they get it all.
Yeah, I'm pulling for the Astros. If these people win these promotions, they become customers for life. So it's the best marketing I think we've ever done, all these wacky promotions I do. So we're trying to create excitement. And, you know, I'm a Houstonian. I'm for the Astros 100% of the way, and it should be exciting. We hope to go out there and win game one tonight here in a couple hours.
Are you nervous that that they're going to win, or are you excited that they're going to win?
I'm excited they're going to win.
That's awesome. Now,
I'm a Houstonian. I'm a Texan. I'm for the customers.
And there's no doubt about that. And with all that being said and all the things that I said about all the things that you've done with hurricane relief, I know you're not the kind of guy that gets into blowing his own horn. But you were singled out by the commander-in-chief last week, I believe it was, and that had to be pretty special for you. President Trump singled you out by name for your efforts during Hurricane Harvey relief. That had to be pretty special for you.
Yeah, well, that was great that the president recognized me. But the real heroes are the first responders who risked their lives for countless days in a row with no sleep, no food, and the incredible work all the people in the community did, the volunteers, and, of course, people who are affected by Hurricane Harvey who brave along, even though they've lost everything. They're so brave, so courageous. That's what inspires me to get up and go to work every day. When I see these people who are so brave and so courageous in the face of overwhelming adversity, and yet they're moving on, that's what Texas is all about, people helping people.
Mac, I got to be honest with you. You may not know this, but I'm a stand-up comedian, and you're in my act now. You're in my set. Actually, you and Joel Osteen, I kind of do this bit where I talk about Gallery Furniture was open before the church, so that's where we go now on Sundays, man. So again, hats off to you for helping out the community and coming through when everyone really needed you. I think it can't be said enough, the job that you did for the city.
Well, it's nothing I did. My parents taught me that it was better to give than receive, and I'm trying to live up their legacy. God bless them as they rest in heaven. So that's what it's all about. I'm trying to leave a legacy for my own children. You can't take money with you, but you can leave a legacy.
Well, you've definitely done that, Mac. Well, before we let you go, I just want to ask, I know that everybody, and I've said this time and time again, everybody thought as soon as the sun started shining and the roads cleared out that we would be beyond this. But you've been dealing, even to this day, with trying to help people and get people situated and get all those things taken care of. Where are you in terms of donations, relief, and seeing this kind of come to an end to get people into a comfortable place where they can go on with their lives?
There's still 500,000 people out of their homes. It's just amazing. 1 million cars were flooded, which is a number that's inconceivable. So this crisis will go on for another couple of years, and it's up to all of us to help pitch in and not think about left-wing politics, right-wing politics. Think about people and what can we do to help people, because there's a lot of needy people out there, and they need a helping hand, and that's what we're here to do.
Now, are you taking any more donations? Are you guys done with that now, or what is that situation?
We're not taking donations. We're working very hard to buy all sorts of furniture specials to help the customers get the best furniture at the lowest price. And that's working pretty well because our vendors across the country really helped us with that. So we're working hard on doing what we do best and trying to help people get jobs. We've hired about 100 new people at Gallery Furniture. So we're trying to get people to get jobs and then most of all, listen to the people who have had mental illness because of this. They've been affected because of this and understand that everybody has a story to tell and listen to their story.
Well, Mac, I'm going to ask you, how do you see the series going with the Astros? What is your prediction on what's going to happen?
Astros in six.
I like it.
I like it. I said the same thing, man.
Confident.
Great minds think alike. That is a spirited man that has done a whole hell of a lot for this community, and I'm honored to call him a friend. Mac, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We know you're busy, but continue to keep up that good fight. Hopefully we'll see you on the mound in the World Series.
Great to talk to y'all, and have a great day. Enjoy your show. Thanks very much.
There you go. Jim Mattress Mac McInvale right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'm telling you, man, that guy, you know what? When you get put in situations, a lot of people have given him a lot of heat over the years. You know, the corny commercials and all that stuff. But you know what? When times are their toughest, you see who the cream rise to the crop. He stepped up in such a big way.
I think I told this before, but you know, when all of this happened, I was doing shows in San Antonio and Dallas, and I really do have him in my set. I mean, Tyler was there. He can tell you. Him and Joel Osteen are part of a bit that I open with that does really well, too. I mean, it's because it's true. But, dude, people in Dallas and San Antonio know who Mattress Mac is, because I can tell that story and do the jokes, and they know exactly who I'm talking about, which is crazy to me to think that a dude that from Houston that sells furniture is known all over the state. That's his impact. That's the kind of clout that dude has. So pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, guys, I want to tell you about my favorite place to eat in the city of Houston. And I also want to tell you that I've got folks that were sending me pictures yesterday that went out to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen and ate and said that, hey, they had high expectations, and not only did they meet them, but they exceeded them. And I feel like you're going to be the same way if you go out and check it out. And I'm talking about Troy Kless, who went out there and then tweeted me and was like, man, my expectations were exceeded, and the Astros won Game 6, so what do you say? Go out there. You can watch the game. You can eat. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. If you've never been there, it's a mix of both Southern comfort and Indian food, which is, you may hear that and think, well, what does that mean? Well, it means you can get like chicken curry, or you can get chicken fried steak. You can get quesadillas made with naan bread. You can get this Himalayan heat burger that I promise you need to put on your list of must-have burgers in the city of Houston. It's that good. They're known for the best butter chicken in the city as well, but they have a ton of fusion favorites that you're going to like. All delicious. All the Indian food is authentic family recipes that Haas and his staff have perfected over time. Get out there for lunch, too. I mean, right now, they have a special going on. Right now, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for a limited time, you get the ESPN special. It's an all-natural half-pound classic burger with fries for only $8.99. You're going to love it, I promise you. Just go out there and take advantage of it. And then during Astros games, they always have happy hour specials for food and drinks for all the ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map listeners. Full-service bar. And if you don't want to leave, let's say you want to stay home and watch the Astros tonight, you can order on DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub and have it delivered to the house. 1901 Taft in Midtown. If you need more information, look them up on Facebook, CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. I just thought a private dinner in the trapping is a habit, that's the way for me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back as we continue to talk about sports and things, especially the World Series. We had Mattress Mac on just now as Barry's part of a petition that I will gladly sign to try and get Mac to throw out the first pitch during the World Series for all he's done for Houston. I did mention that Reed Ryan has been on record as saying MLB comes in and basically it's kind of like Super Bowl or NBA Finals. The league comes in and tries to do everything from game operations to everything else. And the one thing they're leaving to the home teams is the first pitch. And that they're expecting to make a big announcement they've been working on for at least the first game on Thursday. So we'll see what they say. But it would be good to at least honor Mac on a national stage for all that he did, especially after he was honored by the president. But we switch gears now, and we give you the other perspective. As Eric Steven is on the line, he's from TrueBlueLA.com. He's covered the Dodgers and covers the Dodgers for SB Nation. He's a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, and he knows the big blue machine that is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Eric, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right away, getting into it. We've been kicking it around back and forth. Dodgers with a bit of a cakewalk through the Cubs. Obviously, the Astros took it to the distance against the Yankees and prevailed. But everybody's talking about the pitching. There's a huge advantage, we know, with the Dodgers bullpen. But Kershaw hasn't been great in the postseason per se. And there's been some people that have been trying to put him in their crosshairs. How do you see everything going tonight and overall in the series?
Yeah, I think this is a big opportunity for Kershaw to, there's always going to be that sort of narrative around him until he wins a championship or, pitches well on the big stage, relative to like how he normally does. I think that's always going to be sort of hanging over his head. So he's got a little bit, maybe a chip on his shoulder because of that, but it's kind of weird. The team is sort of, he has a much better surrounding cast, especially the bullpen. So they don't have to necessarily rely on him as much. Like if he doesn't have the best start, they're not automatically going to lose, I don't think. So I think there's less pressure on him in that regard, in a weird way. But that said, this is his first World Series start, so it's, as someone who's won 3 Cy Young Awards, it's weird to say this is finally his time on the national stage, but it really is in terms of being, getting that first World Series experience. So I think it's something he's going to take advantage of. He won the pennant clincher last Thursday in Chicago, pitched pretty well there. He only gave up a run in 6 innings. So I think he kind of sees this as a big opportunity.
How healthy are the Dodgers? I know Corey Seager has missed some time, and Kershaw had a twinge of, a back injury or whatever. Are these guys healthy and ready to go?
I think so. Seager, they added him back to the roster today. He's going to start at shortstop tonight. He might be the DH when they go to Houston. He had a back sprain. He missed the last series. So I think they're going to take it a little bit easy with him in that regard. But Justin Turner was, I think the term they used was banged up just generally. He took a couple days off of batting practice last few days, but he's going to be fine. I think pretty much everyone else is just pretty healthy. So I think it's always good to see, you got two great teams like this. They're both at like relatively full strength. So that's always a good thing.
What's the LA perspective on the Houston ball club? I mean, they saw, two guys step up big in Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers. And I think we here fully expect to see those guys back in the starting rotation in games 3 and 4. But overall, this was the number one offensive team in baseball for most of the year. And again, right there with the Dodgers in terms of having big offenses and solid teams. What's the LA perspective on, do they expect the Astros bats to come out and be different than it was against the Yankees? And how do they perceive this Houston team?
Yeah, I think they look at this lineup and see a very, very deep lineup. And it's anchored by, Altuve and Correa there in the middle. It's just going to be a world of hurt to get through that lineup. So I think they're kind of aware this is going to be the toughest test the Dodgers pitching has faced so far. They did a really good job of, shutting down the Diamondbacks and the Cubs. And the Cubs were hitting very well in the second half. And then in the playoffs, they just really didn't hit. So I think part of that was what, the sort of the Dodgers game plan against them, but part of it, they were just slumping. So it's a matter of we're going to see. I know the Astros did struggle for most of the ALCS hitting, but they're such a good offensive club. I just think, it's going to be tough for the Dodgers. But that said, there was a little glimmer of hope in that they didn't quite hit as well in the ALCS. But also, I would say, too, everyone knows, Verlander, going to be future Hall of Famer for sure, but Dallas Keuchel at the top. Those top two are as tough as you get in baseball right now. So I think the Dodgers have to work that out for them for sure.
Yeah, speaking of rotations, I saw Darvish pitching game 3. Any surprises there going Kershaw, Hill, Darvish, Wood? I know the precedents have been set to start Hill in game 2, but any other surprises?
Not really. I think they just like Hill at home. And they're like 7-1 in the playoffs, and they sort of had that from the beginning, and they're sort of in the if it ain't broke, don't fix it mode right now with that rotation. Darvish, you could argue he should probably start game 2, but I think it's like more of a coin flip either way. They like him on the road, or actually anywhere, really. So they don't mind him in a different environment.
How much do you put stake into the fact that these two teams didn't see each other in the regular season this year? Tim Kirkson was on ESPN this morning talking about the fact that the Dodgers, for the most part, up and down this roster and this lineup tonight, will not have ever stepped into the batter's box against Dallas Keuchel, and they think that's an advantage for Houston simply because he's got such creative stuff, if for lack of a better term, where you think it's a strike the whole way in, and then right before it gets to the plate, it dives out of the zone, and then vice versa. A lot of times it looks like it's out of the zone, and at the last minute it dives in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Logan Forsythe, I think, is the only guy, right? He's like 7-for-20 yep. against him, and everyone else was like Chase Elliott and Chris Taylor, and they haven't really faced him since like 2014, so really, really not a lot to go on there. I agree with you in that Keuchel probably has the advantage. I will say this, though. The one thing the Dodgers have been excellent at in this postseason and throughout the season is really making that opposing starter work. They had, like, the lowest chase rate outside of the zone throughout the league during the year. They've kind of stepped that up in the postseason. They basically make the pitchers, starting pitchers, work and work and work. And if they're not scoring against them, they're running up their pitch count. They want to get into that bullpen as early as possible. So, you know, not saying that's going to happen with Keuchel, but as a guy who sort of works the edges of the zone, it's up to the Dodgers to sort of continue to be disciplined. Even though they haven't faced them, they've probably seen enough tapes to realize they have an idea what's coming. So if they can be patient and diligent, lay off, and then take advantage of the strikes they do get, they'll be in pretty decent shape.
Give me your assessment of the key for each of these teams in order to win the series. If you had to pinpoint one thing for both the Dodgers and the Astros, what do you think that is?
Yeah, we talked about the bullpens a little earlier. I think it really is down to that for the Dodgers. Like, their bullpen has been so good so far. So, you know, ERA under one, say 32 strikeouts, two walks. It's just been really dominant. If they can, like, continue that run, they're going to be really hard to beat. But with the Astros, you know, you look at those last two games in Houston, I think that's more indicative of the type of offense they are. Just, you know, relentless kind of coming at you at all times. So I think that's going to be the key for them, is even their offense going, especially early in the series. I probably favor the Dodgers just because, you know, of home field advantage. But honestly, these are two really awesome teams. It's really so rare to get 200-win teams just playing each other in general. But just to see them go out, I'm looking forward to a really awesome series.
Give us your perspective on your right fielder, because Yasiel Puig, as we talked about on the show, has a world of talent. But I thought that Turner described him best as a 12-year-old in a body that you couldn't even create in a video game. But he was on his game and has been after a rocky patch with the Dodgers. It seems like it's all systems go for a guy that's got a world of talent.
Yeah, what a turnaround year for him. Last year, he was sent to the minors for a month, and his future was very much in doubt, you know. And he's come back this year, been really focused both at the plate, just in general. Like, he's still like this sort of ball of energy out there, and it's always, you know, it's something. And I think he's just been able to harness it this year. He hasn't chased balls like the offense I mentioned. His walk rate's the highest of his career. He had a career high in home runs, but excellent defense and right. He's sort of channeled that energy in a positive fashion, and the Dodgers are really benefiting from it.
Well, we appreciate you spending some time. I know you're very busy, and you've got a game one to get to tonight. We're jealous of the fact that you're going to the game, but we appreciate you spending some time with us. Maybe we'll hook up before the end of the series, but thank you very much for giving us a few of your minutes of your time.
Yeah, you got it. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you very much. That was Eric Steven right there, TrueBlueLA.com, Dodgers beat writer for SB Nation, and some really good stuff. Again, a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America and a guy that follows this team day in, day out. And he said, look, he gave you a pretty honest perspective, but knows that they don't think that the Astros are a cakewalk by any means, and they expect those bats to get going, which is big.
They're going to have to. I mean, you know, the one thing as he was talking that I thought about that I think if you wanted to have some hope as an Astros fan, because – you know, he said basically it's going to come down to bullpens. That's kind of how it was in the Yankee series, though. If you think about it, the Yankees bullpen was really good, and the Astros somehow managed to beat a team with a good rotation, a fantastic, you know, 1-4 in the lineup at least, and a lights out bullpen. And you could describe the Dodgers in the same exact way: good rotation. 1-4, you don't want to have to face no matter what with Bellinger and, you know, adding Seager into that right mix. Yeah, and Puig and Justin Turner and a bullpen that's lights out. So it's the same thing. So from that perspective, the Astros have seen this before. The difference is, can their bullpen hold up?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, as you mentioned, the Astros were able to survive. It was fantastic because of the fact that their bullpen became two starting pitchers. But as you get into this reboot now for the World Series, it doesn't give you a whole load of confidence for your bullpen, even Giles for that matter, when you know that 7th, 8th, and 9th inning on for the Dodgers is pretty much a wrap when you get to the guys that they have, Jansen and those guys in the bullpen.
I'll tell you, I know we got to go, but on the other side we can talk, because I have an idea of what you might see out of the bullpen from AJ Hinch.
All right, and we've said already the Astros playoff roster for the World Series stays the exact same as it was for the championship series. Are we doing the finals, and when are we doing the finals or the intern wrap?
Hell yeah. I'm going to look at the poll at the break, and then maybe we'll do that at like 3:15. Okay. We'll have the finals. There you
go. So stay tuned for that. We'll see if the sleeper Cinderella story in Trey makes a comeback through the for the ages on the polls. Otherwise, we'll have that coming up at 3:15 and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. 1 hour left of the big show. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.